Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Back with you for a Tuesday morning. It's Pregame Daily with Kevin and Chris here on the Braves Radio Network. Braves dropping game one in Milwaukee last night. 1-0 was your final in a pitcher's duel and a tough luck night for Ian Anderson. He gives up just a run on four hits over six innings. Lone run scored in the bottom of the sixth as Hunter Renfro crossed on a wild pitch to Tyrone Taylor. And Chris, unfortunately for the Braves, the storyline remains the same. More strikeouts. A matter of fact, 16 of them. That's 32 strikeouts in their last two games. And they are averaging just a tick under 10 Ks per game here this season. That, of course, is the most in Major League Baseball. And it's right now, let's be honest, let's call it the way it is. It's a tough team to watch at this point in the middle of May.
Yeah, it's not very entertaining. And it gets worse than that at times. And certainly over the last week, it really has felt like you're taking yourself out of games. Defensively, not putting at-bats where the ball's in play at all to make somebody do something. There's no uncomfortableness. You know, I think in all sports, that the advantage you can get before the score dictates, okay, what happened for the entirety of the game? How uncomfortable do you make your opponent? In basketball, we see 12-0 run makes people uncomfortable. In football, a couple of scores in a row, you're up 14, makes people uncomfortable. They have to change their game plan in those sports. Game plan doesn't really change in baseball. It's still see it, hit it, make sure that you catch it if somebody does. But it does squeeze a little bit, especially when the strikeouts start to mount, because you're not creating anything. You're not doing anything. You're not making anybody forced into making a double play, throwing a guy out at third base. When those things don't exist, the game is easier for the other side. And look, I'm going to give credit, because Milwaukee, if you were going to, and they do have these meetings pre-series, what would we like tonight? One, two, three pitchers. It's Hader at the end, gone. So what did they do? Peralta, Williams, Hader, textbook. Textbook opening game of a series for them on a Monday.
Two hits, no runs, one walk, and 16 strikeouts. And Chris, there's some folks probably sitting around going, yeah, 16 strikeouts is sort of hard to visualize what that means. Well, I'll tell you what that means. That's 5 1/3 innings of you not putting a baseball in play. So last night, you played a game against Milwaukee where you had 3 2/3 innings, realistically, where you had a chance actually at the plate. They struck out six times. You strike out 16 times, 350 on the season, most in baseball. And again, 5 1/3 innings where you are not putting a baseball in play. That is rather concerning for this lineup.
I have done this math forever. How long or short are you making the game for the other guy? Three errors in a game, that's a minimum of 30 guys. You just gave them 10 innings to play. Mm-hmm. This math to me has been, you know, again, analytics and balls in play and batted balls in play and whips and FIPs and all this other stuff. But sometimes it really does come down. If it's not straight eyeballs, what did you do to ensure that you had a best chance to win that game? You can't have the ball in play that few times and hope. I mean, you're living in hope. One or two of them are going to be home runs. One or two are going to be misplayed. If you only get two hits, you're not stringing four together to actually put up two runs. And if you don't do things defensively, or if you walk people, you're extending the game for them. They get to flip their lineup. Think about what happened last night, Kevin. You don't even get back to. You know, it's a 2-hour, 31-minute game. And while that's good, that game would have been an hour and 48 minutes back in the old days. Because guys would have grounded out. Guys would have grounded out. It would have been one pitch, two pitch. It wouldn't have been seven pitch at bats, and the game would have been even shorter. The point is, you didn't create opportunity. And if you don't create opportunity on a given night, that's fine. There's 162 of these. If it looks like that's the type of team you are, we give up outs. We have played sloppily on defense, or we're walking guys on top of playing bad defense. The game just is a bad math equation for you at that point. Last night was a perfect example.
Yeah, it sure was. Freddie Peralta, Devin Williams, Josh Hader combined to retire the final 17 batters they faced. 13 of those 17 outs came via the strikeout. So it was a tough night for the Braves offensively. From a pitching standpoint, though, man, tip your cap to Ian Anderson. Great to see the way he went out there. Unfortunately, he gives up a run on a wild pitch. He takes a loss. Tough night for Ian Anderson to suffer a loss like that.
Yeah, we had looked at Peralta's ERA and said, oh, something's a little bit amiss. But we certainly knew he had, you know, as a 25-year-old, he's arrow up. And I just think being around guys, remember, we had talked about it yesterday in the pregame show. It feels like he's older than 25, but what he's really been doing is he's been going to school, watching that staff, watching that, I'll call it their management group that said, here's how we're going to teach pitching. We're going to work on things at the major league level. It's not just at the minor league level. Think about the master's degree this guy has had the last few years watching guys pitch in Milwaukee. It's what they do well consistently. He will benefit from that. It looked like last night, no doubt about it. He was the professor. He was doing a teaching last night, and that group shoved. And I mean they shoved. Now, here's the problem. The Matzik thing we'll talk about in a second. You have a different starter than maybe I think the direction you were going to go because of the Strider now situation with Matzik. But you're going to be in a hole before you get to Burns Fried. And remember how good that matchup is? I kind of wish it wasn't as good a matchup. I wish they were throwing out, Turd Joe tomorrow to make it a little bit easier for the Braves, because you're literally looking at the matchup you didn't want tonight going into a really good pitcher's duel tomorrow. But that game, like last night, can go either way. You're not in a great position with two games left before you get back on an airplane.
No, Turd Joe, I think, just got optioned back to AAA. Bad news for you. Yeah. He's not with the big league club anymore. No, they'll see Adrian Hauser tonight. You mentioned Tucker Davidson going this evening, and I know a lot of folks were sitting around scratching their head when Spencer Strider entered the game for the seventh inning. We do find out Matzik's coming back to Atlanta. He's going to have his shoulder checked out, and I feel like, we've talked about a little bit of the struggles that he's had this season. Now it sort of makes sense that he's not 100% healthy, because let's be honest, you don't win the World Series without Tyler Matzik last year, and I think we could all agree he has not been the same guy here in 2022.
Well, I know that I believe that when you're better on social media than you are on the mound, then something's up. Now, whether it's mental or physical, whether you're not in the shape you're supposed to be in, whether you enjoy the offseason a little bit too much, whether the shortened spring with the extended season last year was a bad combo. And I absolutely believe that could have happened to him, no doubt about it. But to keep trotting him out, and look, we'll find out. Now, remember, they're not going to give us everything. Did he talk about this? Did this all of a sudden happen? Mm-hmm. Can I give you a little bit of what I think?
Please.
I think he's got to get in shape. I think part of this is, I'm not telling you his shoulder isn't bothering him a little bit, but I if I'm an organization and I don't want to get the guy, I don't want to put his business on Front Street, I'm gonna IL you and you're gonna go get in shape. I honestly think that's part of it. So, I'm not telling you something's not wrong or something needs to be fixed or he needs to sit down with the arm. I kind of thought now for the last few weeks, and I'm kind of tired of hiding it. I just think that it was one of those, you weren't ready. I don't think he was as ready to pitch as he was supposed to be. Yeah. And look, can you get him, whether I hate to do this, treadmill, working out, let's pull it back a little bit. Let's try to take a little stress off your body if that might be part of it. There is a moment to shut a guy down. It's when he can't pitch. He's not helping me. I'll shut you down for any reason you want. I'm not telling you again. This is a new thing. This is an old thing. He's told him about it. He hid it from them. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm telling you, he's got to get a reset. And to me, the reset is probably, let's take off a few LBs. Well, let's get our body right. Let's get our mind right, but let's get our body right before we put you out there again.
Yeah, we'll see how long he ends up on the IL, and we'll see what the Braves announce later on today about what the findings are as he comes back to Atlanta to get that shoulder checked out. 26-year-old lefty Tucker Davidson gets his second start of the year. We saw him back on April the 11th. It was not great. 2 2/3, 5 runs, 5 hits against the Nationals. His last 4 starts at Gwinnett have been better. He's holding opponents to a 192 average against and 29 strikeouts in 22 innings. So hopefully that version of Tucker Davidson shows up tonight, and he'll certainly have his work cut out for him against this lineup here this evening.
It's not easy to find 5 guys. There aren't a lot of staffs in baseball that go 5 deep, but we seem to be back to that. Come on up, take your shot. You're not very good. Back of the line, go down to the spring, go down to AAA and you'll be pretty good again. And, Kyle Muller's probably the same type of thing. You're going to look and you're going to go, hey, the last 3 starts in AAA, they've been this. Time for him to get another shot. Well, at some point, somebody's got to stick up here, because if I'm going to lose 1-0 on a night when Ian Anderson throws like that, if I have to worry about if Burns is a tick better than Fried, or if the bullpen isn't as good as Milwaukee's tomorrow, I got to figure out a little bit of something in this back rotation. Somebody's got to grab onto this thing and hold on tight. And I know to 5th starter is the least of your problems if you're good enough to win 90 games, but it almost feels like it's becoming a little bit problematic that we can't figure out. And this AAA shuffle is going to be a dangerous game unless one of these guys figures out how to throw strikes up here as opposed to Gwinnett and every place else.
Yeah, you're just waiting for somebody to take hold of it, sort of like Kyle's done this year, and run with it and not give it back. And we'll see if Tucker can take a step in that right direction tonight. If not, then you throw your hands in the air. And, I mean, is it Bryce Elder? Is it Kyle Muller? I mean, where do you go from here if he has another tough one?
I don't feel as good coming off a couple of losses in 3 out of 4 now, throwing Tucker Davidson out there. Now, again, in all likelihood, it's going to become a bullpen game anyway. You know, what can he do in 4 innings? That's kind of what I'm looking at. Best case, 5. So I don't think he could lose this game early. He can keep you in it, but you better find a little bit of offense, because even if he does keep you in it, and by the way, keeping you in it is 1-1 or it's 6-6. You know, at a certain point, he's going to leave. And it might be up to the offense again in the last few innings. And it's not a very entertaining brand of offensive baseball. It's just not. And the Ronald Acuna thing, for one more night, it hangs over all of us waiting for the Braves to put out their lineup today.
I made the prediction on the locker room this morning. He will be in there tonight. That is my bold early prediction. If not, I don't know what to tell you from now, but they put him through the paces yesterday. Snit talked about it. Looked like he was moving around well from some of the footage that we saw. So I'm going, it is 8:12 a.m. as we're recording this on Tuesday morning, and I'm going to say when the lineup comes out tonight, number 13's back at the top.
So I'll give you this. I'll agree with you. And then I don't care if he's 87%. If he walks, here's what I'm going to ask you. Don't burn it around second base. If you got to play 90 to 90, play 90 to 90. But his presence in the lineup should matter. Presence in the lineup does matter. I know for a fact. I can give you the names of guys who I know weren't healthy, 100%, 90%, 80%. But they stood in the batter's box because it changes the dynamic of the lineup. There's a DH. He doesn't even have to do anything else. If you can't DH with a groin, and again, I will tell you, please, you're not going to steal a base if you get to first. First to third, make sure it's really a play you're supposed to go first to third. I'll give him a caution on the base path, but I need him one swing pop, and I also need him to change the dynamic of the lineup. So, yeah, I agree with you. It is time tonight, and I don't care if it's a DH for the next 4 days, 4 games, but he's got to be in the lineup because it does change at least what people have to do. The dynamic of the lineup is different when he's in it.
Yeah, no question. They can do so many more different things. It moves guys into different spots. And again, hopefully 13's back there and can kickstart what's been a real stagnant offense for the Braves here lately. You and I have the Ford Leadoff Show 6:25 tonight. First pitch is 7:40. And hopefully this time tomorrow, we're not as down in the dumps. Hopefully we've got a lot more exciting things to talk about.
Please.
And the Braves evening this thing up and get a game apiece going for a series win tomorrow afternoon.
All right, I'll give you something to look forward to. Day game tomorrow. Hooters card will be on the table for the boys. Everybody gets lunch tomorrow. Hooters will right down the street here from the Battery in Atlanta, Georgia. Hooters, you guys will do a pickup or delivery, whatever the hell it takes. Hooters late lunch, early dinner for you guys tomorrow. That is on the table. Hooters, by the way, with the PGA Championship coming up, they really do bonzo business on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when golf is back, and it is this week with another major. All the big storylines around golf, you're going to want to watch and listen to it, because there's a whole bunch of things with Tiger, Norman, Phil Mickelson, and others. That's in play. NBA playoffs, okay, here we are. Conference finals are in play. NHL playoffs, UFC, baseball, of course. If it's on, if somebody's playing it, they've got a remote. Just ask for it. A server or a bartender will put it on one of the bigger, newer TVs all across Hooters across America. Want to thank them for being a part of Braves Podcast Daily. Kevin and I will be back tomorrow. Day baseball tomorrow. We will do this in the morning on a Wednesday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.